This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
And it's time to cross to Anthony Reich for the Israel Report. Anthony, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, Tov. A piece of good news this morning to start, and also to try and deflect our attention away from the war. And this is really about Israel's fencing team. There's an under-23 European Championship that's currently taking place in Italy. And Dovilensky was yesterday named the under-23 European champion in EPI. He took the gold medal and, of course, with it, the European Championship. And in bronze medal place, Yonatan Masika. So two great medals yesterday at the under-23 championship. And this comes on the back of the junior championship that took place last week in Rio de Janeiro. And Israel's junior fencing team went in ranked 18th in the competition and came out with a silver medal. So I think that that's really a great achievement for the fencing team. It's not a sport that is generally associated with Israel. And it also means that there is some normality going on. People are able to undertake their sports activities, even travel away to international competitions in spite of the pressures that we have from the war that's going on at the moment.
That's such a wonderful feel-good story on so many levels. As you said, not just the sporting achievements, but the fact that the athletes were able to travel and to represent. Absolutely wonderful. What else is happening in Israel today? And also, thank you for sharing that with us.
So I think, you know, the main stories of the morning are really, first of all, unfortunately, that there was a casualty yesterday in Lebanon, and this time it was not an IDF soldier who was killed, but rather a civilian worker who was working in Lebanon on contract to the Ministry of Defense. He was the casualty in Lebanon yesterday. Amir Hujirat, who was hit by an FPV drone, which these are the drones now that are the drones of choice, let's say, of Hezbollah. They seem to be using it more and more and more. And unfortunately, Amir was, he was 44 years old. He was from the northern Israeli town of Shfaram, so an Israeli Arab working for the Ministry of Defense, who had been contracted to go into Lebanon to do some contractual work, when he was targeted by one of these FPV drones that obviously has quite a significant explosive payload on board. And unfortunately, also in the process, Amir's 19-year-old son was injured, who was also working at the time for the Ministry of Defense. So we really mourn their deaths, and we don't distinguish between civilian deaths and soldiers who are killed in the line of action, because as far as we're concerned, someone like Amir, who's working for the Ministry of Defense, albeit in a civilian capacity, also bears the same responsibilities and has the same standing in our eyes. But what was really fascinating from Lebanon yesterday was the discovery of this 2-kilometer long tunnel that was destroyed by explosives that the IDF planted in the tunnel and ultimately managed to explode it, 2 kilometers long. And the video that gets shown of the explosion of this tunnel is quite a sight to watch. And the more you see about the tunnel, there was quite extensive video taken before the tunnel was destroyed, located approximately 10 kilometers away from the border with Israel. Very, very sophisticated indeed. A tunnel that was built with all kinds of luxuries, in inverted commas, rooms and facilities, everything that might be needed for people to be able to survive there for extended periods of time. And it's not only about the existence of the tunnel, but when one thinks about how much time and money and planning and effort and design had to go into creating that tunnel, all of which is intended for use to destroy Israel, to attack Israel, to attack Israelis. That's really the whole purpose of this tunnel. And when you see how much effort and investment has gone into creating this tunnel, you begin to understand how serious the threat against Israel really is. More than that, in the West Bank over last night, two Israeli soldiers were stabbed. These were soldiers who were operating in the West Bank town of Silwad. Silwad is an Arab town located not too far from Ramallah, in the Shomron area, in this, the area of Samaria. It is a town that is under the control of the Palestinian Authority. And yet, IDF soldiers were operating there because they had found something which was considered to be a danger and a threat to Israel. IDF soldiers were sent in order to take care of the threat, which they have been doing around towns within the Palestinian Authority already for some time. And on this occasion, these two soldiers were stabbed. Fortunately, they were not too seriously injured. They were evacuated to hospital. Of course, their families have been advised of the fact that they've been injured. And fortunately, the IDF is saying that their situation is not particularly grave. They're not considered to be too seriously injured. And yet, we see that in addition to the war that is being fought in Lebanon at the moment, and in addition to the threat that we have from Iran, and in addition to the number of soldiers who continue to man the yellow line in Gaza, which is now an area that has really calmed down, and in addition to the threat from the Houthis that we have from Yemen, we also have an ongoing threat right on our border in places like Silwad, which are literally along the border with towns and cities in Israel and considered to be a threat. So this is the work that our soldiers are having to constantly do in order to secure Israel and to allow our fences and the rest of the Israeli civilian population to go about their daily business, to attend competitions, to do their rehearsals and their practices and to do their training and to allow people to go to work and, of course, children to go to school. This is the minimum that our soldiers are required to do in order to keep things safe and well. So those are really the reports from the various fronts. I know that we've been watching President Trump to see what he's going to do next with Iran. There isn't really any update in terms of developments with Iran. We understand that the Straits of Hormuz continue to be blockaded. That's the critical kind of focal point right now. But what has been interesting in all of that on the international diplomatic stage is that the United Arab Emirates has decided to withdraw itself from OPEC. Now, OPEC, which is the organization that brings together oil-producing countries in order to somehow try to keep some control. It's a sort of a cartel that has been formed in order to try to control the amount of oil that's produced at any given moment, and thereby trying to maintain a certain minimum price level. And OPEC countries are all signed up to adhering to the restrictions of the amount of oil that they can produce at any time in order to somehow keep control over the price. And now, for the first time in many, many years, a country, an OPEC country, stood up and said, we think that it doesn't serve our purposes, it doesn't serve our interests any longer for us to continue to be members of OPEC. And that's the United Arab Emirates. Abu Dhabi has stood up and said they would like to withdraw from OPEC, which essentially means that they would then be free to produce as much oil and to sell as much oil on the open market as they like, and also to charge whatever price they like. They wouldn't be bound to be charging the price that is being imposed upon them by OPEC. So the question is whether this is a little crack in OPEC and whether this might not deepen and cause a more significant rift in OPEC and have an impact on the international oil situation. That is something that we are certainly watching from a distance with some interest.
So staying in the UAE, Israel's reported to have provided Iron Dome units to the UAE during the recent war with Iran. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, that's something, if you would have maybe told us 5 or 10 years ago that was going to happen, we would have thought, how is that possible?
Well, I was actually quite surprised, to be honest, to hear that Israel had provided an Iron Dome system, along with dozens of IDF soldiers who were all shipped off to Abu Dhabi to help the United Arab Emirates defend itself against the attacks that it received from Iran during the recent conflict. Now, we were made aware of the fact that Iran was attacking many, many of its neighbors around the Gulf area, Abu Dhabi included, and we heard of some quite serious hits that were taken by those areas. And I sort of wondered to myself how they were managing to defend themselves, because we did hear of, for example, attacks against the airport in Abu Dhabi and various other oil-producing facilities. And I'd wondered to myself how the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and other countries around the Gulf area were managing to protect themselves. Now we're being given a little bit of insight as to exactly what was happening behind the scenes. And in the case of Abu Dhabi, it's this Iron Dome system with quite a number of IDF soldiers who were shipped over to the United Arab Emirates. And we understand that the Iron Dome system that was deployed in Abu Dhabi had a relatively good success rate in intercepting incoming missiles that were considered to be a risk to the citizens of Abu Dhabi and, of course, to the infrastructure that exists there. They did certainly suffer some damage, and there were missiles that did fail, but we understand that the Iron Dome system that was deployed after a personal phone call was held between the president of the United Arab Emirates, which is Mohammed bin Zayed. He apparently phoned Prime Minister Netanyahu to make the special request, and Israel was able to extricate an Iron Dome unit that might otherwise have been deployed in Israel to defend our land. And was sent off to Abu Dhabi. So I find that to be a very, very interesting development. And as you said, I agree with you. 5 or 10 years ago, one could never have imagined that something like that would happen.
And I hope that it's the indicator of where we're truly moving in terms of relationships in the region and supporting of one another. One thing I did... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
So I agree with you on that. And I think also that we will be able to take a step back within another few weeks or maybe a few months to sort of reassess the power in the Middle East. And there is little doubt for me that the power shift in the Middle East has been seismic over the last few weeks and months, and that Israel's power in the Middle East has increased dramatically across the board. And that's going to be an interesting assessment to do, which I will do once the current conflict is over and perhaps some agreement has been reached with Iran to end this war. It'll be interesting to take a step back and just assess where the power lies in the Middle East after that.
Not to make light of the situation, but we're seeing Jewish bodyguard, basically Israel bodyguarding the UAE. It's not just Jewish bodyguards on cruise liners like we used to see running security back in the day. It's an incredible thing to see. And I think maybe the world is waking up to the realization and experience of what Israel has been living through for decades. One last thing, if we could touch on the ultra-Orthodox protests against the draft, choosing to clog roads during rush hour. I mean, what is behind this in terms of the thoughts? Is this not just going to alienate the ultra-Orthodox community more?
I suspect and unfortunately believe that it is, and it also, I think, is going to drive even a greater wedge within our society, because we really have two significant camps: the ultra-Orthodox, who believe for whatever reason that they should be exempt from being drafted to the IDF, and they go under the banner saying they would rather die than serve in the IDF, which seems a very extreme statement to make. Not only that, and not only blocking the thoroughfares and the main roads, but also attacking members of the ultra-Orthodox community who have chosen to sign up to the IDF. There are physical attacks that have been taking place that have been focused against members of the ultra-Orthodox community who have signed up to the IDF and who I respect immensely because of the amount of threat and the castigation that they have to come under, the extent to which they are alienated from their own community. I really respect the stand that they take. The one thing that was really quite serious was the fact that the head of the IDF police, the military police unit, his personal home was invaded by ultra-Orthodox protesters. While his family were there at home, they came into his personal garden and they tried to attack his home. I think that that's really not okay. And the IDF Chief of General Staff has stood up to say, this is really taking things too far. I think we need to do a reset somehow on our ultra-Orthodox community to somehow bring them into the fold, to encourage them to be part of this defensive effort of our country.
Anton Reich with the Israel Report, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for what you shared and your insights.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.